The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, to be broadcast on October 4th, 2023, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, feel free to comment right down here below, and we should be able to get back to you. Probably Fran will get back to you. That's usually the way that works.
That's how it works.
So anyway, Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news and cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening on Facebook Live, you can comment right down here below. Or you can drop me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, or now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's rant of the week: butts on bikes and the fear of riding on the road.
Aww.
Yeah. So where does this come from? This comes from, well, everyday conversations that I have, but I had a lot of everyday conversations this past weekend because
I got a lot of conversations.
Yeah, I do have a lot of conversations.
All the time.
Oh, I know that. With you also, who never stops talking. Yeah, you.
That's you.
It's all true. No, it's not just me. Anyway, so butts on bikes, fear of riding on the road, observations from this past weekend's conversation. So what was this past weekend? This past weekend was my 50th high school reunion.
You're old.
Oh boy. Yay to the class of 73. And boy, I gotta tell you, the class of 73 is just rocking. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Got a lot of really positive out of this weekend. This was the best class reunion I have ever attended. I am very, very thrilled with it. But in conversations, everybody, of course, knows that Peddlin' Ron is a Peddlin' Ron guy. I ride my bike. And so there's always lots of questions about, still riding your bike? How many miles do you ride your bike? I hate that question. I hate the how many miles do I ride my bike. I'm not a miles guy. I'm a time guy. You know, I like to spend somewhere between 8 and 12 hours a week on my bike. That's where I'm at. That's usually what it works out as. So anyway, people were asking that, but they're going, you know, I gave up riding on the road. I used to ride my bike on the road. I'm just scared to ride on the road. Cars, this and that. And it's like, there's a lot of fear out there about riding in traffic. And unfortunately, the answer to making the road safer is to put more people on bicycles on the road. And this is something that I've talked about a lot on this show, and I will continue to talk about today on this show, because cities with higher bicycling rates are safer for all road users. Aha, what do you know? So my butts on bikes thing is definitely a thing. But maybe we'll talk about that a little later in the show. We'll see what we have time for. So, going on to a positive side, Franny's back. Hey, there's my first one right there. Hey, Franny. Franny's back. Franny went down to see her mother in Florida, where people are really nuts in cars. But anyway, and she, yeah, you're showing your tortoise.
In Venice Island,
yeah. Right. So mom lives in Venice.
Yes, and not on the island. She used
not
to.
Not on the island. And our former classmate from the class of 73, Dave Moore, lives there also.
He does? You didn't tell me.
Yeah, I told you this a long time ago, and I keep telling you to go to Sharky's on Thursday night because he's the house band.
Oh, right.
So anyway, when we go to Florida, this is going to be recorded now, so we have to do it. When we go
We're
to Florida.
We're going to Sharky's on Thursday night.
In January, we are going to Sharky's on Thursday night to see Dave Moore because it's kind of a thing we need to do.
I'm sure my mom would be into that.
But yeah, it'll be fun. Dave's a good guy. Dave followed his absolute passion from high school, and he's a drummer, and he followed his passion in music, and he became a sessions drummer. He's drummed for all sorts of famous people. It's kind of cool. So anyway, shout out to Dave Moore if he's listening. Probably not, but that's okay. anyway, shout out to him, and shout out to any of my friends in the class of 73.
I have to share you to all the groups.
The class of 73, yeah, you can maybe share me to my high school class of 73 if you can. I don't know. That may or may not work.
Okay.
Anyway, had a great weekend there. That was a lot of fun, so that's a thing. From Franny's back, that's a good thing. You know, so long to Peter Sagan. Yeah, Peter's retiring from bicycle racing.
Aww.
What a character. From the first day he stepped on the podium and pinched the podium girls' butts.
Oh, boy.
Peter Sagan was truly an icon in professional cycling. Funny guy. Definitely always had humorous comments. He was the guy who would win a race and pop a wheelie across the finish line. Peter Sagan was a treasure for professional bicycle racing. Really, really funny guy. Fun guy. Sorry, Peter, you had to leave us because we always loved being entertained by you. But anyway, hopefully you find something new to do after bicycle racing. Maybe stay in with the bicycle world or maybe not. Whatever you want to do. It's your life. Go for it. Cool stuff. I still have, it's positive side stuff here, I still have that Sepp Kuss smile on my face. I just can't let it go. We talked about it last week. I'll try to leave it alone now because I don't want to overdo it here, but I really just, the Vuelta España was, what a great race this year. It was just tremendous. And of course, I have my great weekend with the class of 73. I wanted to shout out to another classmate, Dave Shepard, who moved to New York City. Back in the early days after Ledger High School, he was a drama guy, and he remained a drama guy, and he worked in New York City in the theater district for all these years. We had this great conversation. As a matter of fact, if you're listening to Dave, come on up, man. I invited you guys, so you got to come up. But anyway, I invited him up to our house to hang out, and his wife is a big follower of Bruce John. So,
yeah. That's nice.
And so I said, oh, Bruce is a friend of mine. That's really cool. We may get a visit from theater people from New York.
Because you're the class of 73?
Yeah, because they're both in the theater. So anyway, but he commented on COVID. Because you know how COVID pops up all the time. By the way, COVID is popping up again all the time. Keep your eyes open, keep your mouth closed, keep your nose covered. Not a bad idea. He said when COVID hit, he couldn't get on the train or the buses or anything, and he ended up taking the train back up to his house in his parents' house in Ledyard, I believe, at that time still. It might have still been there. And he took his old 10-speed bike and he fixed it up and he brought it to New York and he used it for transportation. He said his eyes were opened because he could get anywhere in 10 minutes. Anywhere he needed to go was within 10-minute range of where he lived. So, cool, huh? And I believe he's still at it. So that's a really cool thing. A great discovery made by someone who has always relied on mass transportation in the city or cars to get around or whatever. And he found the bicycle. So that's a really cool thing. Anyway, I just really enjoyed our conversation. And, you know, everything comes back to bicycles with me. So anyway, there you have it. Let's move on to the mechanical minute and cycling tips. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about cyclocross, maybe a lot today about cyclocross. I've got a race coming up in less than 2 weeks, and so therefore my brain is definitely programmed in that direction. So I'm going to talk a little bit about cyclocross and bikes to use for cyclocross first timers. This is a great sport to participate in if you want to kind of play around the whole bike racing idea, but you're a little intimidated by what bike racing can be. Cross is a great way to get involved because, you know, the people that are winning the races are having as much fun as the people that are at the back of the race. It's just kind of a silly party on wheels, and it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how fast you are. It just matters that you're out there participating and having a blast doing it. So it's something that, and everyone can either find or might have an old bicycle that they might be able to use. Or if you're a Cat 5 novice racer, they still allow you to use a mountain bicycle or even a hybrid bicycle. So that would be with a flat bar on it. It's not recommended, but it works, and it'll get you through your first event and get you to play around and have some fun with it. But anyway, I wanted to go over a few things about this because I think it's kind of fun. And of course, I think it's fun. It's always fun. So, close this. What is that? Terrible. I hate it when ads pop up and then they won't let you go to the screen you're looking for. Bugger. Anyway, here we go. So this is from Cyclocross Magazine. By the way, if you're into cyclocross in any way, or if you want to learn more about it, there's a great website. It's Cyclocross Magazine. It's called cxmagazine.com. So cxmagazine.com. And there's a nice little piece in here that was put out a long time ago, back in 2014. What kind of bike can I use in a cyclocross race? Cyclocross 101. So, depending on what you currently own, it could be a hybrid, a touring bike, a mountain bike, or a road bike. You could probably cobble something together to test the race waters. You certainly aren't forced to buy a cross-specific bike, although we could all use an excuse to buy a new bike, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you have the revenue to do that, and if you have the ability to do that, cross bike's a great bike. It still is by far one of my favorite and most versatile bikes out there. It is also a bike which is great if you're doing a gravel event, which gravel events are super popular. Big shout out to Colebrook gravel event coming up this next weekend. By the way, I will be there, and I will be there for a number of reasons, but I'm going to be there helping my friend Richard, and we are going to I am going to be riding on what we called the express ride the last time. I can't remember what we're calling it this time, but I'm going to be sweeping that ride probably, and also doing a little bit of announcing service. And also, I am going to be emceeing the film festival that is going to be there for people who are coming to the race, which is kind of a fun thing. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'll talk a lot more about that afterwards as I'm kind of getting my feet wet in the bicycle film festival business, so to speak. And we can get a little more involved in that in the future. But back to the bike and what to do.
Will you be able to keep me in the style to which I'm accustomed?
No, never. But that's all right. I mean, you can always dream. You can always dream. So, yeah, you can use a mountain bike. Is it the best bike to use? Probably not. It's going to be a little heavy. And, you know, there's a really, really good chance that you're going to have to pick that thing up and carry it for a little while. And, of course, the heavier the bike is, the harder it is to carry. But, you know, if you're just going out to have a good time, if this is what it's all about for you, I listen to Pedalin' Ron, and Pedalin' Ron says I should do a cross race. I think I'm going to go do a cross race. Come to Mansfield Hollow. Come to my race. I will greet you with an enormous amount of enthusiasm so and encouragement. So anyway, you know, do you have to have a lot of off-road skills? It helps, certainly helps. It also helps to have a whole lot of wattage if you've got some of that to carry with you too, because sometimes these races can start out super, super fast. But you can do it on anything. My first cyclocross bike, my very first cyclocross bike was an old, let's see here if I can jog the brains of some of my old friends here that listen to me, because, you know, we're not young anymore. So, and I started racing back in the 70s. So anyway, I had a Cielo Sprintec. Remember those bikes? Anybody remember those? Cielos. Yeah. It was a full campy bike. It was it was, you know, not the bike to use for a cross bike. But back in those days, we had wheelbases on bikes. We had wide frames in the back so you could put a little bit fatter tire on. Of course, we were all running on little skinny tubulars at that time. But you could basically take an old road bike and you can make it into a cyclocross bike, which you can still do today. You can still do that. It works just fine. It's not going to be a state-of-the-art, you know, super-duper race machine. But if that's not what you're looking for, then that's not what you're looking for. And the cross bike, in my estimation, is truly the best bike you could ever own because it's so versatile. It can do so many different things. So you can convert something like that over. An old touring bike is an even better idea only because of the fact that it's already built for the wider tires and the longer wheelbase, so it's going to be more stable in a choppy situation, which you run into when you're off-road on a cross bike. So yeah, you could use that too. A hybrid, sure, you can use it. It's going to be heavy. It's not going to be light. But you know what? It'll get you through your first event, and it'll get you to the point where you can go, hey, that was terrible. I'll never do it again. Or, hey, that's the most fun I've had in a long time. What a great idea. And then you go on to Bike Reg and you take a look and you see all these events happening on the event calendar. And the next thing you know, you're hooked. I had a friend of mine, an old running friend of mine, reach out to me a number of years ago when I was the race promoter for Hartford Riverfront Cyclocross. And he contacted me and said, hey, Ron, I think I want to do that race this weekend. What can you tell me? And I went, well, I said, come on over. And I said, I'm setting the course up on this day. And I said, if you want to come over, I'll take you for a lap and we can, you know, I can show you what you need to do and what you can expect. And we can take it from there. And this guy was a kick-ass runner. He was really, really strong. So I knew right away he was going to have no trouble at all playing around with this sport because he had the cardiovascular fitness to do it. And he had the strength to do it. But he didn't have the bike skills. So, you know, there we go. So along comes my friend Paul. I take him out for a ride, and he goes, wow. He goes, that's really fun. And I said, oh, it's a blast. And I said, big word of encouragement here. When the gun goes off at the beginning, try to get up in the front as fast as you can because it's going to funnel out and things are going to get sketchy and people are going to fall down. You're going to have to get around them. So, yeah, work on your, this is what's called the hole shot. You want to work on your basically putting your feet on the pedals and pedaling as fast as you can for a really short, hard sprint because that'll help give you a position in the race. And then from there, you can go and play and, you know, you'll see what happens from that point because it's pretty exciting. But, you know, you can do it on almost any bike. You really can. My friend John, shout out to John Hankins, local legend around here, showed up on his mother's 3-speed the first time he did one. Not recommended. Not at all, okay? Definitely not a good bike to do it, but you know what? It's what he had, so therefore he showed up with it, and he actually did quite well with it because he also is one of those runner-type people that's very fit, has the cardiovascular fitness, has the strength, has the ability to push himself beyond his means, and so therefore he did okay. My friend Paul did his first race, and he came up to me afterwards, and I was too busy being race director to really pay attention to the race he was in, so I didn't really see him race, but he came up to me afterwards, and I said, Paul, how did you do? How'd you make out? And he goes, I was DFL, which is dead, you know what, last. So he finished last in the race, and I said, oh, I said, I'm sorry, but you finished. He goes, I finished, and it was fun, and I know what I can do better. He just got bit by the bug. He's been racing ever since. He not only racing, he's racing well, and he got bit by the bug. And now it's like his favorite time of the year because it's cross time. So, yeah, you can do it on almost any bike. So that part is good. Bike handling skills are not a must, but they help. And if you don't have bike handling skills before you get there, you're going to have some by the time you leave, because you're going to learn how to deal with certain things. And here's the best thing about the cross race and the cross racers. They are very helpful. You know, if you're new at this, they'll help you. They'll give you suggestions, and they'll be real happy to tip a long neck bottle with you afterwards too. Not that we're allowed to drink in a state park where I put on my race, but I'm just saying that that type of activity sometimes occurs after a race. Actually, it mostly occurs after race, but, or, you know, eating some food, or just, you know, hanging out, or, you know, drinking your favorite protein drink. You know, there's other things you can do. But anyway, there's a lot of after the race when you finish your cross race. It's just a lot of fun. It's a big party on two wheels. It's a lot of fun. So yeah, don't be intimidated by the whole bike situation. You can build something of your own and make it happen. And there's a plethora of tires out there now. So there's all sorts of things you can put on the bike to make it work, especially if you're looking at, if you're looking for a 700C wheel, anything with 700C wheels, you can find a large variety of tires now, especially with the gravel scene that's out there. Now, when you get more serious in a cross and you move up in the categories, and there are some restrictions as to how wide your tires can be and all, there are rules from USA Cycling when you do get to that level. But if you're just starting out, just going out to have some fun. That's all. Just going out to have a good time. And yeah, you're going to probably, if you're new at it, there's a really solid chance you're going to get your doors blown in. But that doesn't matter. You're there to have some fun. I really want to emphasize you're there to have some fun. That's what this is all about. So anyway, give cyclocross racing a try, and we will talk more about that later in the show, because I'm not done yet. I've got some comments here from last week's show. I had done a piece about a couple of teenage hooligans who decided that running over cyclists was a fun thing to do, and unfortunately they killed a man doing it. That's not a good thing. This is out in Colorado. That's not good at all. And I got a comment from one of our listeners, Art, who says, "I have been passed closer than needed by a younger driver who I do believe just wanted to scare me." It's not a scare, folks. It's this is real deal. We are humans. We are light. We are unprotected. And please don't use your car as a joyride weapon. It's just not a good idea. I'm assuming you wouldn't do it with a loaded gun. Please don't do it with a car. But anyway, thank you, Art, for commenting. I too have been scared by younger drivers. I remember one specifically that came by and buzzed me, and they when they did, I probably did something really bad and wrong. I may have used the IQ salute on them, and they slammed on the brakes, turned around, came back, and they were in like this old muscle car, and they came up alongside of me because they decided to come back for me because I had gestured to them in a way that was offensive. And I don't do that anymore, by the way. I never use the IQ salute unless it has to be a pretty darn good reason, but I generally don't do that. I usually just smile and wave and call them what I want to call them and feel satisfied by that, but that's another story. So anyway, they came back, and the passenger, who was a young teenage boy, was waist deep outside the window, reaching over to grab me when they were going by. Now, that's a real smart move in a moving vehicle, to grab someone. Not good at all. Fortunately, I had the wherewithal to memorize their license plate. And when I saw him and I looked him right in the eye, I yelled out the license plate number, and he had this shocked look on his face, and I said, "You're screwed. You're going to jail." And they very quickly slipped back into the car and drove off real rapidly down the road. Now, I thought of calling the police on this, but then I thought, you know, I was 14 or 15 once, and I did some rather stupid things in cars. And I would think that the anticipation and the anxiety of every time the phone rang would be enough to maybe straighten them out. So I let it go. And
you
left a
burning paper bag on your friend's stoop.
Well, that's another story. That's for the Halloween show. Anyway, this is, I don't know if that was effective or not. I'm not really sure. But I would imagine that every time this young boy's parents came into the room and said, hey, we need to talk about something, or that the phone rang, that there was probably a little bit of anxiety going on. That was my hope anyway. So I kind of let that one go. I don't let it go anymore. I call the state police. I don't even think twice about it. That's it. You harass me with a car and you get called. Anyway, let's move on to that because we got other things. And, oh, the professional bicycle racing world. Wow, is there a lot of stuff going on out there? Primož Roglič confirms departure from Jumbo Visma. Yeah, Primož is leaving. 33 years old, and I guess he had enough after the Vuelta, because I know there were some not so kind comments made with the press on the side. I mean, eventually they were all for one and one for all, and they were certainly helping out Sepp Kuss to win the race because that is what they were told to do. But Primož was not super happy about it, and in past episodes, maybe even last week or the week before, I talked about the fact that Jumbo had pretty much told him that the Tour de France was going to be his next year, that they were going to use him as their main GC rider, and maybe they were doing that to encourage him to stay, maybe not, I don't know exactly, but he's going, he's leaving.
His name is Primož.
Primož, right. His name is Primož. And Primož has won 3 Vuelta a Españas. He's won the Giro d'Italia how many times? I don't even remember how many times. This guy's got a lot of talent.
Primož needs to get over himself.
He's had a great career. He really has. But he said, I can just definitely confirm that I will leave the team, the Slovenian says, ahead of the Giro delle Emilia. So, and then goes to the Giro delle Emilia, and he gaps Tadej Pogačar and crushes him in a sprint at the end. Unbelievable sprint. If you get a chance to see it, go to YouTube, find it. Maybe I should pull that into my YouTube channel. I'll see if I can share it to my channel and you can check it out.
What team is
Tadej
on?
Tadej is on Emirates, United Emirates, or can't remember exactly. He's on. Anyway, adding more layers to the chaos, rumors emerge and later shot down. Get this. Remember we were talking about, so who's going to pick up Jumbo? Because Jumbo said, that's it, we're done. We're not going to sponsor the team past 2004. So there's rumors that Mr. Bezos has stepped up. And
what? There's going to be an Amazon team?
It's going to be an Amazon team.
No, there's not.
Absolutely. That's what it's looking like right now. We don't know exactly, but adding to the layers of the chaos, rumors emerge and later shot down that Amazon has signed on to sponsor the newly combined, get this, Jumbo Visma Sodal Quick Step team. They're merging. The Sodal Quick Step team is merging with Jumbo Visma. And they're for the 2024 season. Newer reporting suggests that Amazon will simply be paying Jumbo 15 million euro for exclusive footage to air their Prime Video service. We don't know exactly what's going on here, but you know what? It could happen. You never know. Yeah, it's true. Amazon wants to, and God, I said this last week. What did I say? I said, this is time for U.S. Postal to get involved again because the team manager of Yumbo refers to Sepp Kuss as the postmaster who always delivers. Hello. This is a no-brainer. This is what I talked about last week. A delivery service needs to get involved here. So who gets involved? Because I called out UPS and I called out FedEx as possible entries into this market. It's a great way to advertise product. It's a great way to advertise your service. It's all the Europeans watch bike racing. It's a big deal. And we're getting a little bit more of an American audience here too. So there's some benefit there too. But really, if you want to make your foothold into the European market, you either advertise football. Sorry, football, American football fans. It's called football in Europe, not soccer. Anyway, and or you advertise in cycling. Those are the two biggest venues to get the most attention. And so it only makes sense that you would go in that direction. And it looks like Amazon has taken the bait. So we'll see what happens. It sounds like a cool thing. I am really, really psyched about it because they've got the money, obviously, to do it. So that's that. So anyway, so Primoz has confirmed that he will leave Jumbo-Visma at the end of the season. And he doesn't really have anything confirmed as to where he is going. There are rumors. There's always rumors that, you know, he would go in certain areas. But so during the Vuelta, the manager, Richard Plug, repeatedly described the Slovenian as his team's king. He was really trying to keep him pumped up and keep him there, but it doesn't look like he is going to stay because of all the controversy that never should have happened, but did happen during this year's Vuelta. You know, if you don't want controversy, don't send your domestique out on a flight with a breakaway that might actually be able to, like, win the race. Hello. Well, you know, mistakes were made. Things happened. I don't know if it was a mistake. I think it was actually quite brilliant because it put Jumbo in the position of 1, 2, and 3 in the Vuelta, and it also gave them the extra attention of winning all three Grand Tours in the same year. Big deal, really big deal. So, you know, we will see where they're going, where he's going. We don't know yet, but a number of teams, including Movistar, Lighty Trek, Ineos, Bora, Israel Premier Tech, and Bahrain Victorious have been linked with signing Rogelik in the last recent weeks. So everybody wants him. They all want him because there's a good chance they could get a big tour victory out of him. He's not dead yet. He's 33 years old. That really is 33, 34 is kind of the peak of your professional cycling career. It's rare that anyone goes any further with it at any high level as the young guys come in and start swooping up things. But, you know, there it is. So, yeah, where's he going to go? If you have any ideas of where he's going to go, or you've heard anything in the rumor mill, or better yet, if you have some serious intel, report right here to Pedal and Run, because I'd love to hear what you think or what you know about where Primoz will go, because this is kind of a big deal. So he did race in a number of races recently, and he just won one, and it was a spectacular finish, really cool. So Primoz is definitely still putting on a show, so that's kind of cool, and I'm pretty excited by it. So we'll see. I've always liked watching him. I've always liked bike racing with Primoz. He's a good guy. And he left Tadej Pogačar in the dust on the the Portiseed climb of San Luca to win the Giro della Emilia for a third time. Three times he's won that race. That's just great. It's awesome. And then today Pogačar was second and Simon Yates was third. So the big names are all up there. It's all pretty cool. And he said at the end, it's a beautiful and iconic old race, Roglič said at the line. The Santa Luca climb, I like it, I love it. It's always great to finish it off. And so anyway, big thing. He's still alive and kicking, that's for sure. He's doing really, really well. So that's a really cool thing. And then you know, the other big news that Jumbo Visma is talking to Amazon, that I can't wait to see what happens in a week. We'll know more, maybe in a week, you never know, we'll see. But you know, Jumbo needs a new team, so they need money is basically what they need. And I think that the Jumbo supermarket chain was giving them about 20 million euro a year for their name plastered all over their uniforms and all. So if Amazon's willing to buy in at 15 and then they can kind of find another big sponsor to join in, maybe someone from the Sudal Quickstep, you know, arrangement that they have, that team's not going away. That team's not going away at all. And Sepp, the mailman, will continue to deliver. So... that's my comment. You gotta have your comments, right? That's what it is. So what else do I have here on the list of lovely things? Cycling transfers, all the latest news and announcements for the 2024 season. Well, you've heard about a couple right here you heard about Primoz for sure. But there's going to be some other things going on here. The transfer window officially opened on August 1st, bringing to an end the speculation and rumors as new contracts can finally be confirmed. So this comes from Cycling News in Great Britain, and they're going to continue to update this page the rest of the year and confirm some of the signings for the 2024 season. If you're grabbing someone like Primoz Roglič, you are going to have to buy out the contract, obviously. This is kind of the way it works in sports. It's sports. This is the way we do it. So... on the men's side, Remco Evenepoel, Jonas Vingegaard, Wout van Aert, Primoz Roglič, Tadej Pogačar, and Matthew Vanderpoel, Tom Pidcock, they're set to stay at their teams for several years. Well, we know now that that's not true, so this is old news. But the rumors are also starting to persist about Evenepoel's future. He may have signed a deal with Sudal Quickstep, which runs for three further seasons, but links to Ineos Grenadiers haven't died down through the summer. His team is building around him with climbing reinforcement on the way in the shape of Michael Landa from Baja Victorious, so there's a move over. And team boss Patrick Lefebvre has insisted that his star isn't for sale. Yeah, well, they said the same thing about Primoz. So I'm just not buying what they're selling right now. I think we have to, we just have to kind of wait and see what's going on here. There's all sorts of interesting things happening. And, you know, it's big year ahead of us still. And it's a matter of money and buyouts of contracts and that sort of thing, because a lot of these guys sign for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. And if they still have a year or two remaining on their contract, then it may or may not be worth another team to buy them out. But the bike racing scene has been really, really, really fun. How are we doing for time? We're doing okay over there. Can you see that better than me, Franny, please?
Yeah.
Help me.
You're good. You have 20 minutes.
Oh, thank you so much. All right. So what's going on in the transfer portal, as they call it, in the basketball scene back here? Everything is happening. So it's all really, really good stuff. So back here, what do we got? After that, let's go back to cyclocross, because I really wanted to talk about this a little bit more today. I have a race coming up in 2 weeks here at Mansfield Hollow. Actually, it will be 2 weeks as of yesterday. So if you haven't signed up yet, will you please sign up? It drives me nuts, you know, because I need to figure out my budget, and it would really be helpful if you would sign up. So if you're listening, I would really appreciate you going to Bike Reg and signing up for the event. So if you are interested in doing cyclocross, I posted a video, a British video, on my Facebook page, and you should watch it. It's fun. It's a gentleman who is he has are you thinking about entering your first cross race? Have you having now raced cyclocross for a few years, I thought I would share my beginner's guide to your first cyclocross race. And so in that video, he covers the elements of including how to enter, where to find races, when to practice, how to warm up, plus plenty more. If you're tempted in or interested in taking part of a cyclocross race, then he hopes you find the video helpful. I found it amusing. It was definitely a lot of fun. So check that out. It's kind of cool. I would definitely encourage you to check that out. So moving on, USA Cycling has a complete guide to getting started in cyclocross. And of course, why USA Cycling is the governing body of bicycle racing here in the United States. That's who I permit through. That's where I got my referees from. Everything goes through USA Cycling and has done that for years. So they have a site right here on their site. And if you're looking for that, it's usacycling.org. And the title of it is Complete Guide to Getting Started in Cyclocross. And as we know, cyclocross is an enormously fun way to stay fit, satisfy your competitive drive during the fall and the winter. And because it's held on closed courses in local parks, it's one of the most convenient entry points into your local cycling community. This is why I've been putting this on since 1983, because I can basically go into an enclosed area, not have to pay for police protection, road protection, as far as that goes, and put on a race. And I can cut my costs, keep my costs down pretty low, which is kind of fun. So that's a good thing. So it combines elements of my screen going crazy. Combines elements of road cycling, mountain biking, and steeplechase. Yeah, steeplechase. Remember steeplechase in track and field? That's the thing where they got these big, huge barriers, and they got to jump over them, and then there's there's a big bunch of water you got to jump over. Well, yeah, it's kind of like that. Kind of, sort of, but not really. Races are relatively short, 20 to 60 minutes, held on 2.5 to 3.5 kilometer closed circuit courses. Our course this year is, I don't have the kilometers on, it's 1.9 miles, if anybody wants to know. And if you're interested in learning more about it, we are basically doing open practice, we'll call it, or just come out and warming up the course on Thursday evenings from 4 o'clock on. And Keith and I were out there last Thursday, and why do I have a dying battery here? That's not good. We were out there and we were working on the course and just kind of taking care of things. And then we rode around a little bit too and kind of marked it out with some paint. And this week we're going to go down there. We get there a little earlier. We're going to run the mowers around, and we're going to figure that one out too. So we're going to mow the areas that need to get beaten down, and we'll take care of that part too. And I don't think this is going to reach. I am running out of power. So anyway, that is the plan at this time anyway. So we will see what happens. And we'd love to see you if you want to come down and check it out. But it is a fall-winter discipline. It's something that you can do in the off-season from your road season. Things get cold. They get messy. You don't care if it's cross. If it's raining, okay, let's go have a bun. Let's go play in the mud. Let's have some fun. So there are definitely some strong reasons why you might want to do it. So, and it just does great things for your cycling skills. And of course, a cross bike is a little bit different than a road bike. It's got a little longer wheelbase. It's got wider areas for the tires to get through. You're running on a fatter tire. You've got tread on the tire, which is good for gripping off-road. And, you know, can I use a mountain bike or a gravel bike for cyclocross? Of course you can, if you don't mind carrying the extra weight of that beast. But, you know, because they're not light. I mean, I'm sure there are some extremely light gravel bikes out there. I have not encountered one yet, but I'm sure they're out there, but they're not going to be as light as a real true cross bike. But, you know, it's an option. It's an option for sure. And if that's what you have, it's a great option. And that's what a lot of people have now. They totally do. And a gravel bike has, you know, the disc brakes, and it has the wide tires, and it has the low gearing. It has all the things you really need to be able to make it happen. If you get real involved in it, you may have to change your tire width a little bit. You might have to go to a narrower tire, so you have to figure out how to deal with that. And that will be a skill enhancement drill, because it's a little bit trickier when the tires get a little narrower. But again, it's really not that much harder. I would say it's actually easier, especially if it's sloppy. If it's really, really deep mud, if you have a really muddy, nasty surface, or even deep sand areas like a beach sand or something like that, what you're going to find is you're going to find that those skinny tires find the hard pack easier than the wide tires do. The wide tires tend to swim a little bit more in it. So it's, you know, it certainly is an advantage to learn how to ride your bike. And this will teach you. This will definitely teach you. I always encourage it to all my road riding friends, because we can all use a little help with our skills. And I have to admit, I've been down there for the last month and a half and riding around, because the cross course is about a mile and a half from our house. And my skills are a little shaky right now, and I'm still trying to get comfortable with it. I was chasing Keith around last week, and I was able to stay with him, but he was not riding at race pace. So it's, you know, it takes some practice, it takes some training, it takes some skill, and it takes, if you're really, really going to do well with it, you have to get pretty comfortable with riding your bike at the red line. So, you know, you're really working hard, breathing hard, and yet staying relaxed and composed enough to be able to negotiate yourself around the course. We have a couple of forced dismounts. We have barriers that we put up for one of them. And then I have a set of Belgian steps that I built last year that we'll have for you too. And as Keith said to me the other day, he said, you know, those Belgian steps wouldn't be hard at all except where you put them. And I put them at the top of a hill with another slight rise. And he said that he would get to that point, he said he'd be totally gassed, and he had to get off the bike and run. He said he didn't see anyone else riding them. There's your challenge. Come out and ride my Belgian steps. Anyway, it's after you come up a hill on an off camber. It's got some, and then you go through a rough gravel area and then make a turn onto it. It's definitely, the placement is what it's all about. It really, really makes a difference. So anyway, essential cyclocross skills, dismounts and remounts, getting on and off your bike, really, really important. I have always told people that if you can dismount your bike at a faster speed than you can run, that's probably about right, because that'll make you take the two or three steps or whatever it is you need to do, and then by the time you've completely lost your balance, you're popping yourself back up onto your bike again, and now you're back in stable territory again because you're back on your bicycle. But it'll give you the maximum running experience for the event and get you through areas really, really well. Carrying your bike, there's different techniques for carrying bikes. Some people shoulder their bikes, some people grab their handlebar in their seat and just pick the bike up. That's another way of doing it. I learned from a good friend of mine that I used to race with years ago, about the hand position, and what I did was, we're going to lose my battery here, Franny. I'm really concerned. I need a plug. I need you to plug me in over there, if you could, please, into the wall. Here, I'll hand you the plug. So, anyway, quickly. So, anyway, the other thing that I learned over there, over that wall, right there. So, anyway, the, thank you. The method was actually to hold onto the bicycle on the down tube of the bike, right where the water bottle cages kind of sort of are, but they're not. And you would, you can find the center point or the balance point on your frame. And once you figure it out, if you can carry the bike that way with one hand, then you don't have to flop it up and over your shoulder, and you got that balance point. You're going to have to work on some arm strength and shoulder strength here, but it's so much easier to get out and to carry your bike and put your bike back down and go. So that's another way of doing it. And the way I used to do it on my bike is I used to take handlebar tape and I would wrap that area so I knew exactly where to grab. So if I went reaching for it, I'd always know the exact position to grab onto. And again, it's a center point, a balance point. So your wheel's not going down, it's not going back. And so you're not tilting the bike in any way. So that's another way of doing it. So there's a lot of different ways of doing it. But that's what you got to do to learn how to race a cross bike. It's really a lot of fun. And I highly encourage it. So, what makes cyclocross awesome? Everyone's welcome, right? Although cycling disciplines accommodate novice riders, the skill, fitness, and equipment demands are often very high. And cross is not the case. You can pretty much make any bike into a cross bike, or you can use your old mountain bike or hybrid bike and you'll be there. Anything goes. Like in amateur races, you can ride any type of bike you want, wear anything you like, and no one will snicker at you for it if your technique is unconventional. Race duration and course lengths are totally achievable. It's usually 1 to 3 kilometers in length, beginning races between 20 and 40 minutes in duration. Wearing a costume is totally cool. Yeah, really. I mean, it's a costume contest. Why not? We have a woman who shows up, Leslie.
In a tutu.
Leslie shows up with her tutu every year. She comes in with a little tutu. She wears it. She also wins the race almost every year, too.
Yeah.
She's a very talented lady. And so, but she wears her tutu, and it's just, you know, it's all fun. Festive atmosphere is included because everybody's having a good time. Everybody's just out there having a great time. Cyclocross, man. Try it. Understand it. Hey, if you don't want to try it, but you want to understand it and experience it, here's my suggestion to you. I would like you to go to your local farm store, right? Farms, cows,
like
sheep.
Mackey's?
Like we have a place called Mackey's in town. There's also a place called Tractor Supply.
Yep.
And they are both, I'm not being favorite to either one, but find your local farm store and go in and say, hey, I need the biggest, baddest cowbell you have. And, you know, they're going to go, oh, you have a problem with the cow getting away on you? Because, you know, that's what they're used for locating the cow when it wanders off and out of the fields. But no, you need it for cross racing because cowbells are the actual thing you want to do. And what are those horns called? Those big, long plastic horns, Franny? You know that. You know the answer.
A trombone or a vuvuzela?
Vuvuzela, right. Yeah,
from South Africa.
Right. Okay. Those are great at a cross race. And when the riders go by, you just blow on that or you ring the cowbell with all sorts of enthusiasm. And it encourages the riders when they go by. There's an art to watching the cyclocross race, too, which is really kind of cool. Try to find your way around the course until you find a particularly difficult area, one that maybe you saw a rider fall in, or maybe you saw some riders get bunched up in, or maybe they have to dismount their bike and run up a hill there, or particularly muddy areas. Anything that looks like it's a lot more difficult is a great place to spectate the race, because the chances of the old NASCAR burn and, you know, hit the fence and burn up, not that people do that in cross racing, but the chances for an unsuccessful navigation of a difficult area are much higher in those areas. And so that's a great place to watch. It's a great place to encourage. We used to have a hill in the Mansfield race, and it was mostly not rideable, but there were a couple of guys that could ride this thing, and there would be a chanting crowd going, ride it, ride it, ride it, ride it, ride it. And, you know, these guys would try to ride up, and they get three quarters of the way, and they tip over, and there was, you'd hear a big, oh, you know, it's a crowd appeal thing, man. It's great. So if you're not going to race it, come ride it. If you're going to ride it and race it, that's great too, but stick around for the party. Encourage others, bring friends, bring family. It's a great, great, great time. So on the pro tip end of things, when you get into the cross race and you really start getting into this whole event, and you really can't exceed a width of more than 33 millimeters on your tires, so the sooner you can learn how to ride in the narrower tires, the better off you are, because if you get hooked, you're going to have to go there eventually anyway. So it's kind of a cool thing. It's just such a great sport in so many ways. And I'm not going to kid you. It's not easy. It definitely has a challenge to it. So let it be known. But yeah. You know, that's what it is. It's cyclocross. All right, so that's enough of that. I think I've hit everything I needed to hit this week on the show, so we're going to move on to our events. And again, ongoing, the Bicycle Game on the Early History of Bicycles in Hartford, Connecticut at 1 Elizabeth Street, Hartford, Connecticut. That is the State Historical Society. It's still going on. The 2023 cyclocross season is, of course, on bikereg.com. That's a great place to find a local race if you're looking for it. It's a great way to find my race if you're looking for it. We would love to see you out here. The Connecticut Series of Cross, the first race was actually yesterday, October 1st in Newtown, and that is now in the books. And October 15th is the next of the Connecticut Series, and that's Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross. On October 22nd, the following weekend, we have Belltown Cross, and that is in East Hampton, Connecticut. October 29th, there's a new event this year presented by the Laurel Bicycle Club and the Moran Middle School Cycling Team. On November 5th, Cheshire Cyclocross, and December 3rd, the Governor's Guard Rodeo. Remember, this weekend coming up, also, just in case you want to know, is the Lime Rock Gravel Grinder, and we are, you know, getting near the end of registration online. So please, if you're looking to do something like that, go check it out. It's a great event. It's going to be a blast. I'm going to be there. So I can't wait to get out there and hang out with all my bicycle geek friends and really have some real fun there. So check it out. It is the Lime Rock Gravel event. So come on out and check it out. It should be a great, great time. And you can find that also on bikereg.com. So go there and you'll find it. Yeah, finishing points. Don't forget about that Bicycle Game in Hartford. If you haven't checked it out yet, it's a pretty cool thing. And I do love the listener comments, by the way, so keep them coming, because it's always a lot of fun to hear about your experience on your bicycle and how you handle things, or your ideas and opinions. It's wide open here, folks. You can do whatever you want. Remember, cyclocross is here. I'm going to say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day and park that car or truck. Right? Ride your bike instead. What a great idea. You might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, the management, or the licensee of the station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, Fran Storch.
Yeah.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live on Bicycle Talk or on the Bicycle Talk YouTube channel, you can send an email and comments to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on the YouTube channel, Bicycle Talk. If you want to contribute information, drop me a line. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down, get the wind at your back, and get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening.